Thank you, Pastor Don. Good morning, church. Welcome home, Pastor Don. Some of y'all didn't even know he was gone, did you? He's been clear across the ocean since last Sunday. He was not vacation. Well, you slipped in. You kind of treated it like a little vacation, didn't you? He was gone for work. So go to his Facebook page, and you can check out his pictures of where he's been. So good morning, everyone. Doing well? Everybody had a good week? You like my tie? Thank you. Thank you. My wife bought that. I don't know when or where, but it showed up in my closet. And so that's the Lord saying, wear it. So, well, good morning. Everybody take out your phone. Oh, yeah. In this church. Just for a moment, though, and then you can put it away. Now, take out your phone. Take out your tablet. And go to the RH app. If you don't have the RH app, the Lord will grant thee 10 minutes of mercy. Thou shalt download right now. You go to the iTunes store, and I think you just type in Restoration House, and it pops up. In the Google Play store, you're just going to have to pray and ask God to help you on that. I don't really know how the Google Play Store works. If you are a Google phone user, we want to compel you and ask you to come on over to the other side. Well, we're very excited to host next Sunday. Now listen, if we could have this house, and plus we've got a handful of others that are out today, if you all would let us feed you lunch next Sunday, how about that? You don't have to cook. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to pay for it. We've got the tab, and we're going to have a pizza buffet up on the hill. Papa John's. We're not going Little Caesars. I mean, we're going up. We're taking it up. Papa John's pizza. If you're not a pizza lover, good. It saves more for the rest. So, no, you can pick you up a little snack on the way up. But I promise you, we're not going to keep you any more than an hour and a half. We'll come in, and we'll kind of give you a breakdown of what we're going to do. We're not trying to hold you long. I know some of y'all got naps on Sunday. Some of you need naps on Sunday, adults, naps. But we want to get you home. And so we'll eat real quick, and then we'll jump into our focus. A lot has been happening behind the scenes to get us prepared to begin the renovations and the takeover of Belmont. We've officially taken over, but we haven't possessed it yet. Obviously, we're in this building still. But a lot goes into the takeover of a building and property of this size. Everything from utilities being switched over. We've had a wonderful team. Robert led a team and with Tracy and a bunch of others, Don Sr., and they took a real detailed look over all the mechanics in the building, and that was such a huge blessing. And they've got us up to speed. We're gaining a knowledge of how everything operates. This is 55,000 square feet in our care. We're going to possess 35,000 of it, but we want to be stewards of the whole property, right? I mean, Jesus might be wanting to give it to us, and we want to make sure we're faithful over what we've been given. We've been working to establish what we will be able to renovate in our first phase and trying to decide what's first phase, what's second phase. We've had to clear the space. It's like the bell rang 2 years ago on the last day of school, and it's like everybody walked out. Everything was still there, but we've cleared our section of the building, 35,000 square feet of all the desks and you name it. It was there. Teachers in the house, you know all that your room holds. Well, they were holding a lot in those rooms. So we've gotten everything cleared. A good number of you have already been a part of our serve nights and our serve days. We're so thankful for that. We want to thank those of you that even came this week again and served. Those of you that cleared the library, 4,000 square feet. Anybody have an idea of what 4,000 square feet is? Okay, it's bigger than this room right here. And so 4,000 square feet for our children's sanctuary. Our children are going to have their own worship service. And so that's cleared. And we've got out all the tables in the building and cleaned those. And so we're ready next Sunday, almost, for our dinner. Those of you that came and swept and cleared out the furniture in the classrooms, thank you so much. Next Sunday, we want to share with you all that's been happening. But also, we want to cast the vision. We want to cast vision, right? Without vision, people perish. Building, people can still perish with buildings. But we want vision. And we want to cast vision for the next 6 months. We have a strategy as we move into that property, how we're going to impact our neighbors and our neighborhood and our city. And we want to share that with you. Because the move to the hill is about more souls. That's what it's about. It's not about more square footage. It's about making room for more souls. And it's about advancing the kingdom. That's what it's about. And so the building is just a tool. It's just a hook, okay? And so we want to talk to you about that vision. So if you go to the news, events, and registration option on your homepage, everybody got your phone, your tablet right now? You're on the homepage. Everybody know what the homepage looks like? I can't show you on my phone right now because I'm using it. Up at the very top, news, events, and registration. Some of y'all are seeing all of the features of the app for the very first time, all right? Click on news, events, and registration. At the very top, you're going to see our vision update lunch. Press that option, okay? I don't know exactly what it says, but I know there should be something that says click here, register here. Push it. And then if you know your name, fill it in. Okay, let us know how many are coming. Do that right now. You have full permission to do that right now. And then when you get done, put your phones away. All right, bring the kids. We need to know how many are coming. We have a bad problem here at Registration House. feels like that. We have a real issue here at Restoration House. We register. Sometimes we've had people register for events after the event. That's how bad it is. Okay. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Procrastination seems to get the best of us. When we ask you to register, I promise you, it's for a reason, okay? All right? I don't want you to have to share your pizza with others. I want you to have your own pieces. All right? So we need to know. We need to make sure we have enough seating. We need to make sure we have enough pizza. And so we need you to register. All right? Is that cool? All right, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, we're actually going to look at verse 12. Jeremiah 29, 11 is very popular. But I want to encourage you, when you read Jeremiah 29 and 11, or possibly if you have that verse memorized, for I know the thoughts, the plans I have towards you, and I want to encourage you to memorize verses 12, 13, and 14 as well. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. And as you turn, I want to just share a very simple prophetic word that was given to me this week by a dear sister in town. We call her Pastor Terry Hancock. She oversees Lighthouse Church out on Lafayette Road doing a powerful work. Powerful work in this city. If you don't know Pastor Terry, you need to get to know her. She is an amazing woman of God, and she sent me a message this week. She's a prayer warrior too, boy. If you want somebody that can touch heaven, well, we have those in this house, but Pastor Terry is one of them as well. But the word that she gave, and it's just a simple word, but it's a prophetic word I just want to share with you. Pastor Brad, I just want to speak into your ministry that you and your fellowship will become fathers and mothers to the part of the city that you are moving to. I speak blessings, and if anything we can do to help, you let us know. We will be praying for you and your family. It will not only be children, but adults too, that you are fathering and mothering spiritually. Can't wait to hear the reports. Isn't that awesome? Can we just rejoice for the Lord's destiny over us and the Lord's word over us? Praise God. I love when God confirms through others what he's already spoken to you concerning. If you're in Jeremiah chapter 29, I want you to look at verses 12 through 14. And I want you to hear this promise. Every single word in the Word of God is important. It is pointed. It has a target. And you are the target. God speaks his word so that it's aimed at your heart. He speaks his word and it's aimed at your life. And he's hoping that as you read his word, your faith will arise and begin to agree with what he's saying. You know, you can disagree with God and never experience the power of his promise. But he has spoken a powerful promise. Now he speaks this in context. He speaks this over Israel in the wilderness. But do you understand that they were a type, a shadow of the church to come? We now inherit this blessing. We now inherit this promise. This promise is still good. It hasn't expired. This promise is still for us today. And look at this promise. He says this. He says, then you will call upon me and you will go and you will pray to me and I will what? Listen to you. Can everybody say, thank you, Jesus. That when we call on him, no matter the situation, no matter what provoked that call, he hears us. He doesn't ignore us. He doesn't turn us away, but he hears us. He says, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me. Everybody say, seek me, and you will find me. When? Now here's the stipulation. Here's the stipulation. When you search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. What a wonderful promise. And again, look at this, a very similar promise in Deuteronomy. He says this. He says, but if, one of the biggest words in the English language, if you seek the Lord your God, that's our part. If you seek the Lord your God, our part, here's God's part, you will find him. He will be found. He'll make sure that you find him. If you seek him with what? All your heart. With all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your desire over every single individual here today. God, you know very well what they are experiencing. You know if they're on a mountaintop or in a valley. God, you know if they're in a season of rest and peace or if they're in a season of warfare, God, you know. And Lord, you're there with them. Lord, you're watching over them. Lord, it's your desire to lead them. It is your desire to strengthen them in their situation, Father. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now, Spirit of Truth, to come and speak to us this morning. Lord, we lean in and we sit up and we give attention to the Word of God that is eternal and that is transformational. God, we're not here for a cute sermon. We're here, God, because we understand, Lord, we need you. We're in desperate need of you. We're here this morning today out of honor and gratitude and thankfulness and praise and honor to you, God. We want to hear you so that we can be changed by you, so that we can draw near to you, so that we can look like you, love like you, lead like you, God. We want to fulfill the call, the mission upon our lives, God. We recognize that we were born with purpose and we were born again with a calling. And God, we respond today with attention. We respond today with affection, Lord, for your word, what you're saying today. Father, we thank you for the Logos, the written word, and we thank you for the Rhema, the spoken word, the now word. Speak to every heart. We pray against distractions. Father, we pray against the enemy that seeks to dilute and distort the word of God. We take authority over the thief in the name of Jesus. We bind him up. We bind the strong man today. And Father, I pray right now that there's a grace for hearing today. And give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying in this hour, God. Awaken us to the urgency of the hour, God. Let us know. Let us know. Let us see the unseen. Let us hear what you're saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was my plan to launch a new series today. I announced it last week. And I've been preparing for a number of weeks, actually about 6 weeks for this series. And I am and was pumped. And then Pastor Marvin stood up last week. How many were really blessed by Pastor Marvin's ministry and his word? Come on. Thank God for that word. Woo. Boy, he lit me up. I told you he's going to be good. Pastor Marvin, by the way, Pastor Marvin will be back. Pastor Marvin and I have just been chatting, literally chatting through Facebook, and we're going to bring Pastor Marvin's wife, and she he says she's way better than he is. And I'm like, well, my goodness, then she must be amazing. But we're just going to enjoy just their leadership. I just really feel like God is knitting their hearts, and they sense that too, knitting their hearts with ours. And who knows how we will see their leadership manifest even here at our church. So we praise God for them and their ministry. But after last Sunday, I just felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to revisit that place of transition that leads us to transformation. I was so encouraged by the word because I'm in a season of transition. Personally, I feel like I know that we are as a church. I've been in that place of transition often. Many people never make it through their season of transition. They die in transition. They never make it through transition to the place of transformation, even though it was God ordained that they go there. God purposed it. But in that place, they lose heart. In that place, they turn away. They lose sight of Christ and His love and His plan for them. The place of transition is a vulnerable place. It's a very vulnerable place. It can be a little bit scary because it's an unknown place. It's unfamiliar. I've never been here before, and I'm giving up control. It's a place of wonder. And God creates those places of transition. He creates that atmosphere of vulnerability and the unknown and in our term, scary. He creates this atmosphere so that we, in fact, draw near to Him. That's why He creates the atmosphere so that we don't lose heart, we don't lose sight, but our sight is strengthened and our heart is strengthened and we turn to Him. It's in those places of transition that our intimacy with Him is to deepen. Transition only leads to transformation if we are abiding in Christ, if we're learning to abide, not get comfortable in transition, not get comfortable with where we are at. Like the children of Israel, man, at one point they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery. When they found out they couldn't do that, they was like, well, let's just hang out in the desert. I mean, they're creatures of comfort. They were seeking the comfort of their flesh rather than the peace of God. Transition isn't about simply waiting on God to do something. Okay, it's not waiting on God to do something. It's about abiding with God so that He can do something in you. It's about drawing near to God, which causes Him to draw near to us. It's about seeking after Him with our whole heart. And then what? What did Jeremiah say? What did Deuteronomy say? Seeking after Him and they're finding Him. Finding Him. Finding who? Him. Him. Today I want to talk to you about the desire of God's heart. Have you ever thought about the greatest desire of God's heart? What is it? What is the single greatest desire of God's heart? We want to know. We want to know what the desire of God's heart is because we want to honor that desire. We want to meet that desire. Amen? We want to meet that desire. I know that I've been born again. I know that I've been born of the Spirit. I know that I've been made alive by the Spirit. When the desire of my heart is to now fulfill the desire of God's heart. I get asked all the time, how do I know this person's saved? It's simple. Has the desires of their heart begin to shift and change and move towards the direction of wanting to know and then please or fulfill the desires of God's heart? That's love. That's love. It shifts from God, this is what I need you to do for me, to God, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? I know that I've been born again. I know that I've been born of the Spirit. When my desire begins to change, and sometimes it's a process. I'm still in that process. I've been serving the Lord for 27 years, really. There was a little section in there where I was kind of faking it till you make it. Okay, 27 years, really, okay? And I know that I've been born of the Spirit whenever my desires begin to change and shift so that I want to meet the desire of His heart. But how can you meet that desire if you don't know it? What is the desire of His heart? Like you and I, the Lord is filled with desire. You know that we are created in the image of God. We are desirous people. We have cravings. You know, God has cravings. He has a desire in his heart. His desires are pure. They are never selfish. They are never self-centered. His desires are designed so that if we choose to fulfill his desires, that if we choose to fulfill his desires, they not only bring him glory, but they bring goodness into our life. Yeah, if we set our hearts to please and to fulfill his desires, he is glorified, and in return, we experience the goodness of the Lord. Or better yet, we are fulfilled. We are fulfilled. We are fulfilled. The blessing of the Lord flows freely for those who seek to fulfill the desires of God's heart. Psalm 53:2 tells us the desire of God's heart. Here it is. What is the desire of God's heart? I believe that this is the single greatest desire of God's heart. And it is this: God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men. That's us. Daughters and sons of men, to see if there is anyone who understands or seeks understanding, seeks knowledge, to see if there is anyone who seeks after God. I believe that this is the desire of God's heart, that he would find men and women who seek after him, who seek after him. It is not about perfection. It is about pursuit. It is about pursuit. The desire of God's heart is to find men and women who seek after him. Seek. Everybody say seek. Seek. Not those who first seek after what he gives. Not those who seek first after what he does, but those who seek after who he is. Big difference. To seek after God is to have a singular focus set on knowing God more and more and more. And by the way, God is eternal. You can never come to the end of the knowledge of his glory. There is no end to who he is. Some of us have known people for 20, 30 years and we're like, you know, I think I got them figured out. I think I got them figured out. And then sometimes they surprise you, right? Well, there is no end to who he is. That's why all of heaven, they're singing holy, 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 because every time they peer into his glory, into his beauty, they find a new dimension, a new aspect of who God is. And the only thing that they can dare offer him is a cry of praise of, you are holy, holy, holy. To seek after God is to have a singular focus set on knowing God more and more. Why is this important? Because to seek after God, or seeking God, is the key that unlocks everything. It is the key to a fulfilled life. It is the key to a fulfilled life. Some of us here today, we are in seasons of discontent and discouragement and places of confusion and wonder, and we don't know if we should go right or left, and we lay our head down at night and we go to sleep but we get no rest. We wake up and good things happen to us, but we still have no joy, and we're constantly going from this moment, that moment, this person, that person, that relationship to that, and there is no fulfillment, there is no wholeness in our life. And I assure you, the one thing that is missing, or that is being compromised in your life, is the depth of your seeking after God. If this one focus is neglected, if it's overlooked, if it's abandoned, if it's misunderstood, if it's dismissed from your life, nothing in life will work. Discontentment, discouragement, even destruction will always have an end route. Because seeking after God not only brings provision, it establishes protection. And without a fervent pursuit after God, a consistent pursuit after God, without that discipline, without that desire, without that determination even, I've determined this one thing. I've established this one thing. You, I will seek after you. If this is missing in our life, then it leaves us susceptible. It allows for inroads. It creates avenues into our life unbeknownst to us. And we're living under the enemy's attack, and we don't even know where he came in. You have failed to live a fulfilled life if you have lived life without living to seek after God. Why? Why is this? Because God has hidden what he gives, and we are needy, church. We'll never outgrow our neediness. But God has hidden what he gives and what he does within who he is. You'll never experience in full measure what God does and what God gives if you don't first begin to seek after who he is. Anybody ever been used? Anybody ever wanted relationship with you and you come to find out that they were only in your life for what they could get out of you? You think that happens spiritually? You think that people only want God for what he can give and do? That's not love. That's not love. Remember, the Lord is looking for men and women who seek after him. We cannot experience fully, truly what God has the provision to give and what God has the power to do without seeking to discover the depths of who he is. Everything he does and everything he gives is because of who he is. Even Hebrews 11 establishes this truth. It says, for he who comes to God must come and get something. He who comes to God must come and believe that he what? First is. The writer of Hebrews is turning our attention, our focus on the person of God. Not even yet the power of God. Not even the provision of God. Not even the protection of God yet. He said, I want you to focus on who he is. Not what he does, not what he gives. I want you to focus on just who he is, his beauty, his splendor, his majesty, his greatness. And I believe this is a sequence here. I believe that the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, if you do that, then you'll experience this. He is a rewarder of those who diligently what? Seek him. Has your Christianity ever looked like that? Have you ever drawn near to God just because, God, I want to know you. I just want to know you. What if someone only wanted to be with you or do life with you for what you could give them or do for them? Again, that's not love. That's lust. That's lust. That's lust. We never want to be found guilty of lusting after God. It sounds twisted, doesn't it? Some of us are, Brad, I can't believe you're saying it. No, it's true. We do that to God. Sometimes we don't want to walk with God because of, we want to change our hearts so that we don't walk with God for simply or for what he can give us or what he can do for us, but we want to walk with God because, God, I just want to be near you. I just want to know you. And listen, we'll never leave our place of neediness. We'll never leave our place of dependency. God knows that. God knows that we can bring nothing to the relationship except for pure devotion and worship. And you know what? That's what he longs for. To love God is to know God. To love God is to know God. Not take from God, but to know God. And in discovering the beauty and the majesty of who he is, we then want to live a life of worship. And honor. Do you know that you are worshipers? Scripture doesn't call us receivers. Scripture calls us worshipers. A life to serve him and please him. That's love. How do you know someone is truly in love with someone? Because of their desire to serve them, not be served. How do we know that God has loved us? Because he's demonstrated his love and that he did not come to be served. He came to serve. We cannot bypass, we can never outgrow the spiritual discipline and the spiritual desire of seeking after God. You never grow out of or mature beyond seeking God. No one in this room is at a place to where you say, you know what, I don't have to do that anymore. If you want to know the depth of a man and woman's knowledge of God or his or her affections for God, look at his or her passion to find God by seeking God. You want to know how spiritual someone is? You want to measure it? Look at their pursuit after God. I don't care how much scripture they know. Pharisees knew more Bible than any of us. But you know what they were missing? They didn't know God. Why? Because they didn't seek after him. They were satisfied with a knowledge of him, but not an experience with him? Is there a pursuit? Ask that of your own life. Is there a pursuit? Is there a pursuit? Is there a longing to be with him? Is there a hunger just to know him? Is there an awareness and a welcome of his presence in every place that you go? Marketplace, the school, the house of God, your neighborhood, the workplace. Are you living in that place of pursuit? Lord, I just want to know you. I welcome you here right now, Lord. I welcome your presence, God. Speak. Lord, reveal yourself. Show me your glory, God. I just want to know you more and more. I love the prayer of David. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. You. How do you grow in your pursuit after God? Trick question. You pursue God. How do you grow in your desire for God? You establish your desire. You take dominion. You take your desires captive. So my soul, not just my spirit, but my soul longs for you. Everyone lives their days with many longings. What's your greatest longing? What is the evidence? When we begin to falter in our faith or trust in God, it's because we neglect to seek after God. When we begin to grow weak in producing the fruit of the Spirit, I assure you, something has come in, compromised, perhaps disconnected, or abiding in the branch. We can't blame the conditions and the people around us for that falter. Scripture says that if you'll just learn to abide in me, Christ says, then you'll produce fruit. Our abiding in Christ has been compromised in some way whenever our faith, and listen, church, I've been there. The call by God to seek me, it's being issued to everyone in this house. Now, how many of us will truly respond? We're all feeling the call, and how will we respond? The psalmist declares, he said this, when you said, seek my face. Listen, that's the call of God today. Over every single one of you, over every man, over every woman, over every adult, every young person here today, this is the call of God to every single one of us. Seek my face. Seek my face. Seek the place of my glory. Seek my face. And David said, when I heard you say, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face will I seek. Your face will I seek. He didn't hesitate. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't make excuses. He aimed his heart after knowing God. God's desire is that seeking after him would become as much part of our life as breathing. There are times and there are seasons where God's only command is seek my face. Because he has something precious and something vitally important to give us, and the familiar patterns of our daily lives and even the familiarity of our prayer patterns cannot accommodate what God wants to give us in that season. That's why we start the beginning of every year with the time of fasting. But church, you don't have to wait for the church to call a corporate fast. You don't have to wait for the church to say, okay, this week we're seeking God. Moving past the routine of everyday life, sometimes even routine or consistent prayers patterns can't give way to exactly what God wants to reveal and give. You remember Jesus, he said, some things only go out by way of prayer and fasting. He's talking about seeking after God. He said, there's some things you can speak to and they move. And then there's some things in your life you got to pause. You got to pause and you got to position yourself in a completely different way. And you've got to express the earnest desire of your heart to see God do something you've never seen him do. As we grow in Christ, the Lord wants to develop us and take us beyond the familiar prayer patterns of needs and pleads. And some of us, that is the only thing that we know how to pray. Needs and pleads. Help. Give me. Help. Give me. I need help. Now, there's nothing wrong with those prayers. That relates to our humanity. That is our weakness being expressed in a very humble way. You'll never leave that place. You'll never leave the place of pleads and needs. But God wants to take you beyond that. He wants to add to that prayer of pleads and needs. You never leave praying for needs. You just don't stay there. You never abandon your cry for help. He just wants to add to your cry. Instead of help me, he wants to add to your cry, show me. When's the last time you prayed that prayer? Not show me a way out. Not show me where to get more money. Not show me where to get relief. But Lord, show me you. Show me you. Let me see you. Because when Christ steps into the room, everything changes. When Christ steps into your situation, everything shifts. Show me your glory. That's what Moses prayed. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Reveal who you are. And again, he's eternal, so there is no end to who he is. I seek him to know him. Because that's where my faith is established. My faith is established when I know who he is. And when I know who he is, I then know who I am. And the enemy has no more ability to lie to me and tell me that I am something that I'm not, or that I'm going to experience something that isn't destined for a son or a child of God. I believe the greatest need in our hour is for disciples that truly possess the Spirit's strength to stand firm. Listen, church, I've been senior pastor now for 11 years. I've been in ministry for 20, is it 27? That would make me old. Yeah, God called me into ministry. I preached my first message when I was 13 or 14. It's been so long ago. It wasn't a good message, so don't get excited. It was just a preliminary here. We'll let him do it and try it out. And woo, we made it. And I've never done it, and I never will, because I just don't think that that's wise and right. But if ever asked or challenged to write down the names of men and women who I've worshiped with, who I've served with, who I've loved and pastored, who no longer walk with the Lord, I think that I could fill notebooks. And I think that you could too. Men and women who, listen, there's men and women that were used by God to instruct me who no longer walk faithfully with the Lord. And the greatest need in our hour is for men and women to know, to experience, men and women to possess the Spirit's strength to stand firm in trial and tribulation, to not waver, not falter, not fail, not turn back, not lose heart, not be led astray. How many would agree that that is the greatest need in our hour? In a time when David could have easily been overtaken by trial and tribulation, a time when he could have been overtaken by fear and discouragement, the Bible says that he made a choice to seek after the Lord. Look at what he says. If you understand the context of this text, if you understand what's going on in Psalm 34, you'll understand what the power and the implication of this prayer. And look at what David says. He says, in that moment, when I was overwhelmed, when I was overcome, when I could have given up, I began to seek the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fear. From all of my fears. Watch this. Both the deliverance from problems and the delivery of promises came through the act, the discipline, the focus of seeking after God. Both the delivery from problems, or the deliverance and the delivery of promises, both came with a heart that seeks after God. And guess what? Fear fled. Fear fled. What drove out fear? Faith. What drove out fear? Those who understand, listen closely. This is a principle in the kingdom that I don't think we highlight enough. But those who understand the ways of God and his kingdom know that there are certain realities, there are certain gifts from God for us, and they are not in his hand, they are hidden in his heart. There are certain things that God wants to release into your life that are not readily or accessible in his hand. He has hidden them in the deep secret places of his heart. We find ourselves asking God to come to us. And God loves, he loves to be invited into our situation. He loves to manifest his presence in our life. He loves us, but there is a place where the longing of his heart is that we would draw near to him. So often we're asking God to come here, but do we hear the cry of God's heart? Come here. Come here. Draw nigh. Why? Why is God's desire that we would draw near him or that we would seek? Is he egotistical? Is he stuck on himself? No, he knows who he is. He knows that he is love. Why does he invite us to seek after him? Because he wants you to encounter he who is love. The one who is love. He wants to seek him because when we find him, we find perfect love. Perfect love, what does it do? It drives out the work of the enemy. Satan is full of hate. Why? Because God is full of love. Because he is the essence of love. He is love, and it's the depths of love that he wants us to discover. There's an invitation, come here, seek after me. You'll find me. What will I find? You will find the deepest places of agape love. It's there that God's calling us to abide all the days of our life. Listen, church, when we have learned to abide in the Father's love, we start to live like Jesus lived. How many has ever read the four Gospels? Do you read it with an earth? Do you read it through the lens of humanity? That God, that Jesus is fully man? That he is fully man. Listen, if you don't understand Jesus' humanity, you won't fully understand his deity. A lot of people want to dismiss their doctrine, their theology is twisted. They don't understand Jesus was born of a woman. The seed was of the Spirit, but he came through the womb of a woman. He was natural. He was man just like me and you. He dealt with every temptation, the temptation to be afraid, the temptation to be discouraged, the temptation to punch somebody in the face. Yes, he did. I think that turning the tables over was really close, man. And beating people with whips. It's legal. Jesus did it. I'm going to start doing that. He was faced with every temptation as we are, but without sin. But without sin. He was tempted to be afraid. He was tempted to give up. He was tempted. Imagine, there were seasons in his life where the lies of man were so prominent in his life. Can you imagine having to fight the feelings of loneliness? Can you imagine him having to retreat into the secret places with God the Father and be reminded once again of who he is? You're my son and whom I'm well pleased. When we have learned to abide in the Father's love, we start to live like Jesus lived. We walk in authority. We start to walk in clarity. We start to walk with courage and humility. We start to walk with discernment. We start to walk in boldness and compassion and generosity. We start to walk in power over the evil one. We start to recognize the devices and the schemes of the enemy. Even before he unleashes his attack, we know. Jesus was a discerner of the very thoughts and the intents of man's heart. We start to experience full provision. Jesus never lacked for anything and never got stressed because he didn't have it. When we have learned to abide or seek after him, I believe, church, that we lack nothing like James started talking about in James chapter 1. both Jesus and David, they both lived within and spoke about dwelling in the secret place. Anybody ever heard Jesus talk about the secret place? Anybody ever heard David talk about this? What's a secret place? Where's that at? Where's the secret place? I believe they understood what it meant to live a life seeking after God. I believe that they sought daily to live in the hidden place, the secret place where God is unveiled to be revealed. See, there are places where God hides himself, and he doesn't hide himself so that he remains a secret. He hides himself so that he can be discovered. And only those who have a heart to seek after him will discover him. See, there's a depth of God you haven't even tasted yet, church. There's a place of his goodness and his glory and his beauty. Where in the Old Testament, they just got a taste of it. This is before the day of Pentecost. Before the Spirit had been poured out. The Shekinah glory, the goodness of God. God was letting them feel who he was. And it was so heavy and powerful that it put them on their face. We need that. We need that. But God doesn't give it to those who aren't hungry. He doesn't just give it to those who are needy. He gives to those who are seeking him. Who are seeking after him with fervent hearts. Like a deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you, God. I want you. I want you. I want to close with Psalm 91. Have you ever read Psalm 91? You better get ready. If you've never read Psalm 91 with an understanding of what he's, not what he's wanting to give, but what he's wanting you first to do. See, the giving part's what he does. The seeking part is what we'd watch this. Oh, this is powerful. You better don't you check out yet. He that dwells in the secret place. Can we just agree that he's talking about seeking after him? Do you think that's what he's talking about? Those who choose to dwell where? See, some of us, we dwell in the present. We dwell where we're at. That's where we're at. If we're at work, we're there. We're all there. And God hasn't even been invited. Listen, I understand we got to do life. You got to go to work. You've got to be mom and dad. You've got to be husband and wife. You've got to be citizen. I understand that bills have to be paid. Groceries have to be bought. Clothes have to be washed. I understand yards have to be mowed. I get it. I get it. I understand life is happening all around us. But this secret place is not geographical. It's not just a place in our home, but it is a place in our heart that we find ourselves continually, wherever I'm at. And he says that the person who has learned, who's chosen to dwell in the secret place of where? The Most High. See, it's about pursuit of a person. The person of God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, I believe this is what he discovered. Because I chose to dwell, I've come to this discovery. I will say of the Lord, or it will cause me to say, he is my refuge. That word refuge in the Hebrew means place of hope, place of trust. He is my place of trust. He is my place of hope. He is my fortress. That word fortress in the Hebrew means strong place, strong tower. He is my God in whom I will trust. He discovered the depths of God. Now watch this. Listen, listen. What God does, what God gives is hidden within who he is. David set his heart to know God and know God alone. David understands his need. He understands his position. He understands that apart from you, Lord, I have nothing and I can do nothing. But his desires are pure. God, I don't want anything from you first. that I haven't discovered in you. And watch this. This is powerful. This is powerful. You need to make a poster of this. I would say tattoo, but this would take over the whole body, okay? Watch this, verse 3. Watch. This is what God will do in response to our seeking. This is powerful, boy. Woo! Need to get this on the church walls up at Belmont. God will. New King James says, surely he will. Surely he will. Rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. By the way, I'm reading in the New Living Translation because there's words in the New King James that we don't even know what those words mean. Okay? I'll protect you from deadly disease. Watch this. He will cover you with his feathers. That's pointing you to the gentleness of God. Not just the strength, but he is gentle in his strength. He will shelter you with his wings. Anybody ever felt uncovered? Unprotected? His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not, listen, who's he talking to? He's talking to the one who has chosen all the days of their life to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Now he's beginning to download what he can do and what he can give. Because you've aimed your heart, because you've set your heart on knowing who I am, now you get to experience what I can do and what I can give. Do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 will fall at your side, oh my goodness. Can you imagine 1,000 people being destroyed and overtaken at your side? Though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if, biggest word in English language, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. You will trample upon the lions and the cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me, and I will protect those who trust in my name. Church, either we believe it or we don't. I believe that God meant it when he said it. I believe he meant this. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue and I will honor them. I will reward them. Everybody say reward. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. And who does the Lord do this for? You got to go all the way back to verse 1. For the one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Verse 1 and 2 was for us. Verse 3 through 16 is all about what God can do and what God can give. Verse 1 and 2 is about what we can do. Verses 3 through 16 is about what God can do. David was abundantly blessed by what God can do and what God can give because he set his heart and his desire and his will and his devotion. He set it on who God is. When our heart and our gaze is not fixed on who he is, then we start to forget what God can do and what God can give. Some of us here today are so discouraged this morning. We've lost sight that God can do this for us, that nothing is impossible with God. Some of us this morning, we've lost sight of God's power to provide, God's power to protect, God's power to heal, God's power to deliver, because we've taken our eyes off who He is. Because we can't see who He is, we've started to doubt what He can do and what He can give. God cannot fail you. He cannot fail you. And guess what? He won't. For the one who has set his heart on seeking after Him. The enemy, listen, church, I want to close with this. The enemy of your soul knows that he cannot destroy who God is. He knows that. But he knows very well that he can diminish and dilute who God is to you. God, listen, the enemy cannot destroy who God is. That is fixed. But he knows full well that he can diminish who God is to you. That's why he works. You know why you end up at the end of your day realizing, wait a minute, God, I hadn't even talked to you today. That's why he works cunningly and strategically, diligently to keep you distracted and weary. Why does he busy your life? So that he can weary your spirit and keep you out of the place, the secret place, the place of discovery, the place where God is hidden so that he's revealed. He's afraid of God's promise in Deuteronomy. He's afraid of this promise. He knows that God keeps his promises, and he's afraid that you will believe this promise. But if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. So the enemy's going to do everything he can in your life to keep you from finding the Lord, from seeking the Lord. He'll bring a wave of discouragement that'll begin to suppress your spiritual desire, your spirit man. Even though in your mind you know it's the right thing to do, but you don't have the desire to do it. Right? Can I get a witness? This morning I want you to stand. I want to pray corporately first, and I want to pray a special grace over your life. Listen, don't check out. Remember, this part right now is the most important part of the whole day. Because we've received the word, now we have to respond to the word. Because we cannot just be hearers only, we have to be doers of the word. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. Father, right now, Lord, if this is your desire, if you're here this morning, you say, Brad, I want that desire, Lord. I want that desire to seek after God. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to explain why you don't have it. You don't even have to talk about how you got here. You just say, Brad, that's me. I want a heart that seeks after God. If that's you this morning, I want to pray over you. Can you just lift your hand if that's you? Father, I pray right now. Oh God, I pray right now, Lord, a renewed grace, a renewed work of grace in every single heart, every hand that is lifted up, God. You search the deep parts of our heart. God, you know exactly what is happening. You know exactly the situations, the circumstances that have worked to diminish and dilute our pursuit after you, God. I don't know what has happened to them, but you do, God. I don't know what has been welcomed, what has been rejected in their life, but God, you know every detail of their heart. And Father, I pray right now, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Father, I pray right now, a new desire to seek after you, God. A new desire to seek after you. I declare it in the name of Jesus over every single individual right now. I pray, God, for a renewed desire to seek after you. Father, I pray, God, that you begin to speak instruction. Lord, begin to speak commandment. Begin to speak instruction, Father. I pray that you begin to, Lord, reveal ordered steps, the right of the righteous, God, that you would show them exactly what they need to do as they live their life, as they are in their situation right now. How do they demonstrate a heart that seeks after you? Ask him right now, church. Ask him. Lord, show me, Lord. Teach my heart, Lord. Show me, reveal right now, God, what is it? Lord, how does seeking after you look like in my life? Right now, I just really, really feel just a heavy burden as I was praying this morning. The Lord has a word for a great number of you this morning. If you say, Brad, I have lost my desire. I'm here today because I do love the Lord, but I have lost that passion. I've lost that passion for pursuit. Again, I'm not asking you to explain it. And you know, sometimes it's a waste of time to go revisit how we got where we are. If that's you here today, I had a number of moments this week, meetings with individuals, and almost every single one of them, when I asked the question, some of y'all, you met with me, you say, he didn't ask me that question. Okay, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the others. And I asked them, how are you doing spiritually? Almost every one of them, some said, you know, I'm just weary. Some said, you know, I'm just not doing good. If that's you here this morning, would you just come up here just even as a demonstration of your faith and your humility and your declaration, God, I want more. I'm not going to judge you. I've been there. Oh, my goodness, I've been there hundreds of times. I know it's more than this. I know it's way more than this. As a matter of fact, some of you even saw in my mind's eye as I was praying this morning. You're just feeling weary spiritually. Stand right here. I'm going to declare the word of the Lord. And I truly believe, see, the word, it always performs. You know, the word is powerful. The word is powerful. I'm not trying to manipulate, but I do believe there's others. You're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. Listen, listen, listen. Listen, I want to speak a word over you. I want to speak a word over you. Church, those of you that are not up here, I just want you to extend your hand towards them. Even just begin to intercede quietly for them. You know, if God doesn't give it, we don't have it. Do you know where spiritual hunger comes from? Do you know where a desire to seek after God comes from? It comes from God. It comes from God. Everybody look at me that's standing up here. Look at me. Just look at me so I know that I have your attention. Here's the word of the Lord over your life right now. Ephesians 3:16. Receive this word. Receive this word by faith. Receive this word. There's authority in this word. I want you to hear what God is saying to you right now. Listen to every single word that is being spoken. Jesse, listen to every single word. Brady, listen to every single word. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I am praying that He would grant you, that He would grant you, that He would give to you what you don't have, and this is what He's going to give you. Listen. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. I want you to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man. You are here today because your inner man is weak and your inner man is weary. God wants to move you past a place where you succumb to weakness. It doesn't mean you won't suffer attack. But God wants to move you to a place of steadiness, a firm footing, of maturity. Listen here. I'm praying that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. See, it's not according to what you have. It's according to what He has that He does what He does. According to the riches of His glory, I want you to be strengthened. Just speak that over your life. Church, can we just speak that over every single one of them? That they would be strengthened today. That they would be strengthened with might through His Spirit. Father, I pray right now that my brothers and my sisters would be strengthened with might. Oh God, I pray for might in the inner man. Strength and might in the inner man. Through the Spirit of the Lord. Listen to this. Listen, watch this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. See, he's praying about strength. And then he prays, God, I pray that they'd be rooted in your love. They'd be rooted in your love. When do we grow weary and weak? Whenever we detached. Whenever love, the love of God begins to become diluted in our life. And he says, I'm praying that you would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, that you would know the love. There it is again. The love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And he doesn't change subjects. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church. You, the temple, be the glory in your life forever through Christ Jesus. Father, I pray right now, God, for a strengthened inner man, a spirit, Lord. I pray for might. God, I pray, Lord, that you would cause them to be mighty, God. Lord, that you would cause them to be fervent, God. I pray, God, for a hunger and a thirst after you, God, that is unquenchable, God, that is unbreakable, that is unstoppable, Father. Lord, I pray, God, over every single heart, Lord, as they've come here today, God, right now, today, there would be a shift in their spirit. Lord, that there would, Lord, that the reins that hold them, the things that bind them would be broken off in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the emotions. We take authority over the thoughts. We take authority over the situations that have been used by the enemy to rob them of their passion, to rob them of their pursuit, to keep them from seeking God so that they might find God. We break it in the name of Jesus. We break it in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, lift up a standard in their life. Cut off the adversary. Cut off the strength of the adversary in their life, Father. And we pray right now for renewed strength to their spirit man, their inner man. Father, I pray today would be a day, Lord, that they experience a renewed desire in the name of Jesus. A renewed desire, God. A renewed desire, God. A renewed passion, Lord. A renewed passion right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, it was for freedom. I just keep hearing the word freedom. Freedom. Father, I declare your freedom. Free to be who they've been called to be. Free to walk in closeness with God. Free to seek after God. Oh, this is real, church. This is real. The hour is urgent. The hour is urgent. Oh, God, you've given us a promise that if we seek after you, we will find you. I just want to declare that promise over you today. Then you will call upon me. Right now, if you're at the altar, just begin to call on the Lord. If you call upon me and you go and you pray and you listen, I will listen to you. When you seek after me, you will find me. When you seek after me with all of your heart. Come on, call on him. Lord, we call on you. We call on you, Jesus. We call on you. We want to find you. We want to discover you. We want to discover you. Come on, God, give us, I pray, Lord, you'd give us, Lord, a spirit to travail, a grace to travail. A grace to travail. Lord, I pray a grace to travail, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, over every single individual with a heart after you, God, that you would teach us what it is to travail. I even just feel that right now. Listen, you cannot walk by faith. In other words, you cannot let emotions determine the reality or whether or not you're experiencing the promises and the presence of God. If you begin to build your faith and your walk on what you feel or what you see, you will miss God. But even in that, we need to learn to travail. That is something that is missing in the church. We don't know how to press. We don't know how to push. We don't know how to press. Listen, when we pray prayers like we've prayed over your life, the Lord is going to require of you as we walk out of here. Listen, the Lord's work, we've declared it. It's not an if. We're not hoping that God will answer. God has answered. God's already turned things in your heart. Now he's asking you to walk them out. I don't know what that looks like for you. I know what it looks like for me. I know what it looks like for me. I know what the Lord has required of me. I know how he wants me to walk out what he's done. I know how he wants me to respond to what he's done in my heart. And I know what it looks like when I refuse to. So I pray right now, just a heart of obedience, just a heart of faithfulness. I pray right now a heart of humility and heart of willingness. Father, I pray that right now. Lord, grant it. Lord, give us that heart. Oh God, give us that heart. Give us that heart that hears you and obeys, that walks in your way, God. Come on, believe that. Understand victory. Victory, it's in your voice. It's in your confession. It's in your mouth. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Can you just agree with God? God, I agree. I believe you. I believe Ephesians chapter 3. I believe that I have been strengthened with might through your spirit in my inner man. I believe that Christ will dwell in my heart through my faith. And I believe that I will be rooted and I will be grounded in love. I believe that. I believe that. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your word. I thank you, Jesus, for the authority of your word. Do you know that your word has power? Your word has power. That's why life and death is in our tongue. So let's begin to speak the word of God. Let's begin to speak the word that brings life and liberty. Jesus loves you. Do you know that? He loves you. He loves you, man. He can't fail you. He's not going to 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 fail you. Amen. Thank you, God. Can we just take just 30 seconds and just wait right here?
Of my life, you will be good. Oh, you will be good to me. You are a good shepherd, Lord. You are good. Oh, I declare you are good. You are good. Oh, you are good.
Grab the hand of the person next to you and declare, he is good. Speak it over them.
Oh, speak it. He is good. Good. Oh, and he will be good to you. Oh, he will be good to you. Oh, and he will be good. Oh, he is good.
Come on, sing it one more time.
He is good, good. Oh,
somebody needs to hear it. Somebody needs to hear it.
He is good. Oh, and he is good, good. Oh, and he is good.
let our hearts be anchored in the goodness of God. Oh God, root our hearts. I want to be rooted. I want to be rooted in your goodness, God. Teach my heart, Lord. Teach my heart, Jesus. Teach my heart. You say, Brad, I'm in so much need today. Listen. You say, Brad, I need God to do so much for me. I want to reassure you that God wants to do so much for you. And he's ready to do it. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows us. And before we experience what he does and what he gives, the Lord is inviting us to discover the beauty of who he is. Make that our aim today. Make that your aim this week. Set your heart on knowing him, on seeking him. And watch things in your life. Just in your pursuit after God, things will begin to fall off. Things will begin to birth. Things will begin to happen around you. Because that's a true heart of worship. Amen. Are you encouraged? Has it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe before we leave that there's a bunch of people that just need a good old hug, and they just need to feel that you love them, and seek them out, find them. Some of y'all are good huggers, some of y'all need practice, but nonetheless, let's love on somebody, and you're dismissed this morning. Have a wonderful day.